Jesus understood human nature well. Reading, writing, arithmetic, and religion defined so much of our early grade school education at St. Margaret's Elementary School in Narberth, Pennsylvania, sponsored by the Saintly Sisters of Mercy. We were so often drilled in the basics of reading, writing, arithmetic, and religion. We, of course, were first taught how to read. And so we read about the adventures of, I'm dating myself, but some of you are there, Dick and Jane, Puff and Spot. Do any of you remember? But the basics also meant a heavy emphasis on one's capacity to memorize. And so we were taught to memorize the multiplication tables. Every afternoon, after lunch, the entire class would sing song through them one by one. 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 3 is 6, 2 times 4 is 8, and so on, up to the number 12. We also memorized the alphabet by sing-song, of course, which helped to store in our young and hungry memory banks to learn to retain in sequence the letters from A to Z. And this was helped also by learning the proper way to write the letters. Do any of you remember the Palmer method? Learning to do the loops and curves and angles of the alphabet. Now, if any of you received a letter from me with my signature, you'll realize I didn't do too well with the Palmer method. But just as much of a challenge to our memories was learning religion and memorizing the Ten Commandments. It was in second grade when Miss Monahan, a strict but very kind teacher, prepared us for our first confessions by having us examine our conscience through an examination of each commandment. Not that we understood all the words, mind you. What did mean to covet, or God forbid, adultery? What? How do you spell that? Much less what it means. And my sister Eileen, at 9 years old, when she was getting a little bit bored at her confessing her sins of disobedience and fighting with her brother or sister, tried it once. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I have committed adultery 10 times. Well, that woke up the priest. But not only do we memorize the commandments, we were expected to apply them to our own lives. If you will, Miss Monahan gave us the basics of using our reason and combining them with our faith. Years later, I learned the word casuistry. And I understood that the Jesuits are pretty good at it, learning the context of a commandment. And so each morning, Miss Monahan would say to we second graders, and one particular morning, boys and girls, now it is time to take out our Baltimore catechisms. And please turn to page 25 today. Mr. Gillespie, since you were talking when you should not have during class, would you please read aloud the fourth commandment? Yes, Miss Monahan, honor your father and your mother. And then Miss Monahan, seeking to teach Mr. Gillespie a lesson in catechetics and catechism, said, Mr. Gillespie, what do you think? Does the fourth commandment also mean that you obey your teacher? Yes, Miss Monahan. Such was the birth of learning the art of casuistry, and such was the birth of my Jesuit education. This morning's first reading seems at first to be an exercise in memory. What are the Ten Commandments? Do you remember them? As we hear from the book of Exodus, the revelation of the Ten Commandments, perhaps when we heard them, we thought back, how do I remember them? Did I remember all 10 of them? How appropriate then in the church in this season of Lent and during a season when we are called towards the sacrament of reconciliation and confession, we are invited to examine our conscience through the lens. Now, it's important to know that St. Ignatius of Loyola, in his spiritual exercises, in the first movement of having a retreatant examine his or her conscience, uses the Ten Commandments as a way of measuring those aspects of our lives. Some years ago, when I was a Jesuit, I studied philosophy at St. Louis University. I had the privilege of having a course from Father John Cavanaugh, who for 40 years taught philosophy of the human person. And he summarized the Ten Commandments into three words: power, possession, pleasure. And how so often sin is the misuse of power, possession, and pleasure. They are goods, but when we are off balance and we are weak, that's often where the action is. In the mindset then of Father Cavanaugh, Ignatius of Loyola, and certainly Miss Monahan, allow me to review shortly each commandment. And using the inspiration of David Letterman, I'll begin with the number 10. Number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. What do we mean by this? It forbids the wanting to or taking someone's property. Along with the seventh commandment, this commandment condemns theft and the feelings of envy, greed, and jealousy in reaction to what other people have. 9, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. This, of course, forbids the intentional desire and longing for immoral sexuality. Just as human life is a gift from God and needs to be respected, defended, and protected, so too is human sexuality. Often I hear the issue of pornography, and what I would ask the person is, how do you envision the healthy human being in a way that is conducive to your nature as a human creature of God, respecting the person of the opposite sex or the same sex? What are those ways we reverence one another? 8, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This condemns lying, of course, because God is regarded as the author of all truth. It is truth that this commandment asks us. The church believes that we as human beings are obligated to search for and respect the truth. The most obvious way to fulfill this commandment is not to lie intentionally or to deceive another by speaking a falsehood or by dragging another person down. Sometimes it's difficult, but can we ask ourselves, can I go one day without criticizing unfairly someone or thinking negatively about someone? 7, of course, thou shalt not steal. It's about stealing, of course, about issues of denouncing each other. How do we at times cheat or deprive workers of their just wage? Or not giving employers a full day's work for a full day's pay. But it also involves gossiping. That is, stealing a person's good reputation. We take something from them. 6, thou shalt not commit adultery. The 6th and 9th commandments, of course, honor that human sexuality that we spoke of. 5, thou shalt not kill. The better translation from the Hebrew would be, thou shalt not murder. A subtle distinction, yes, but an important way to the church involving killing an innocent person is considered murder. Killing an unjust aggressor to preserve one's life or one's values, such as in war, one is defending certain important values or principles, there can be reasons for that context of killing. But also, it's a question on our everyday we can ask ourselves. Am I a life giver or am I a life taker? Am I taking someone's spirit or demoralizing them? That is in form of diminishing their human life. Honor thy father and thy mother. Of course, a child being obedient or a student being obedient to a teacher. But also, how do we reverence the elderly among us? And also to ask ourselves the integrity of our family. How do we promote harmony, not just with parents, but with children and siblings? 3, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. The Jewish celebration of Sabbath, of course, was from Friday evening to Saturday. We as Christians, Sunday is the day of our Sabbath, of course, because of Jesus' resurrection. But I'd like to suggest another way of Sabbathing is ask yourselves, how do you play? How do you recreate? Do you give yourself time to relax, a time to reflect, to receive God's love for you in your reflection? That's the purpose of the Sabbath, not just to take a day off, but to enjoy the day with God's love for us. 2, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Honoring the name of God, how we speak shapes our thought, what we say. And sometimes we may blurt out the word God or Jesus in an irreverent way. And as a result, diminish not just God, but our relationship with our Creator. Last but not least, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have any strange gods before me. This commandment, of course, forbids idolatry, not just worship pagan gods, but the gods of our culture that we place ahead of our God, the different ways in which we get sucked into our consumer culture and worship at that. My brothers and sisters, this is what these commandments are about, a way to bring it into our contemporary life. And this is what Jesus was so upset about in front of the temple. He is saying, you're missing the boat. God's covenant is saying love. And by putting out this into be a marketplace, we're ruining God's presence among us. That's why he was so upset. Brothers and sisters, this time of Lent can be a season for freedom. That's what the commandments are about, moving us away from sin, detachments, or unfreedoms towards a greater freedom to enjoy one's presence and God's presence within us. If you will, Lent is a time to open the doors like the wind that we've experienced, the wind to come in and upset at times our household in terms of our soul, of the temple of our souls, in which we can look at saying, this is too much of an attachment. This is an unfreedom. Allowing the winds of Christ called the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to encourage us towards freedom, so that on that Easter Sunday, we really can rejoice in knowing we are doing God's will. Not just what we should do, but what we want to do. We want to do because that gives us greater freedom, greater joy to love our God and love one another. As brothers and sisters in Christ, let us stand and proclaim our faith. The Apostles' Creed, it can be found in the hymnal, number 175. It is the ancient words, the ancient prayer that begins with, I believe in